Well, good morning. It seems a shame to break the atmosphere from that, doesn't it? But a very warm welcome to everyone to worship this morning, and a special welcome to anyone who's worshipping with us for the first time, or anyone who's relatively new. Please do stay for coffee, which will be served afterwards. We extend a warm welcome to our friends at Carr's Court, who will be listening to the service later. You'll be pleased to know just a couple of messages from me. If anyone hasn't had a chance to hand in their Christian Aid envelopes yet, we've got a couple of buckets just by the door, so if you've got a Christian Aid envelope you'd like to leave, just drop it in on the way out. I've been asked to read something from Pat Bourne, and I will read it out verbatim, as Pat's gone such an effort to write it. Thank you so much to everyone for your prayers, cards, messages, offers of help and flowers which we have received since John's admission to hospital. We have felt very supported by the church with a lot of love and warmth coming our way. John has been a little brighter the last 2 days. The problem is his brain is as sharp as ever, but he has great difficulty speaking, can't drink or eat or move or read. What he enjoys is when he has visitors who chat and talk about what they are doing and life outside the hospital. He does try to join in. He reminded me when it was bin day. That's a typical man, isn't it, really? I am wondering if there is anyone who has the time to visit him for not longer than half an hour. He has no cups of tea or meals or anything to break up the day. He is in just one long tunnel of time, so he would appreciate anyone calling in for a chat. Please keep your prayers going. And Pat asks if you can go to please coordinate your visits through her, so she's got an eye, so you can sort of spread things out as much as possible. So good luck and keep our prayers for John. Anyway, very nice to welcome Katie this morning for our Pentecost, which will be following the introit from the choir.
Some words on the screen. To the next slide. Come, Holy Spirit. You bring each new day alive with possibility. You give each human being great potential. Come, Holy Spirit, and enter our worship. Come, Lord of life, and kindle your love in our lives. Amen. We sing like the murmur of the dove's song. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you.
move to our prayers. Also, words to share in on the screen. Holy Spirit, power clothed with love. On the day of Pentecost, you filled the lives of those disciples who waited for you. You gave them wisdom and energy for living. You transformed their lives. Energize and transform our lives now. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Cleansing power of God. Purifying Spirit of God. Forgive and heal us. Dancing fire of God. Enlivening Spirit of God. Direct and lead us. Burning power of God. Warming fire of God. Infuse and empower us. Holy Spirit. Creative power of God. Holy Spirit of God, we praise you for your presence at work in our lives, in your church and in the world. Come to us now and set us on fire for God. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. How do you begin to describe the Holy Spirit? Many, many different words have been used, and we're going to just listen to some of those words used as a litany of praise for the Holy Spirit. We're going to see those words. Pure gift of God. Indwelling presence. Promise of the Father. Life of Jesus. Reminder of the mystery. Homing device. Inner breath. Hidden love of God. Divine DNA. Warmer of hearts. Space between everything. Fire of love and life. Wind of change. Sacred peacemaker. Holy healing. Deepest level of our longing. Written on our hearts. The welcoming within. Uncreated grace. Compassion. Holy Spirit, we praise you. You who pray in us, with us, for us, and in spite of us. Alleluia. Amen. We sing another hymn that expresses the different aspects of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove.
Gospel reading is from St. John, the last two verses of chapter 15, and then continuing at verse 5 of chapter 16. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is mine. For this reason I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Amen.
The second reading is from Acts Chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen.
We sing, "Father of Everlasting Grace."
Thank you.
just back from my holidays. It was an interesting or unusual holiday. I had 2 days in London with Chris Goddard, and we went to a conference on mindfulness and Christian spirituality, which filled us with enough notes and reading for a few months, I think, to come. It was filled with ideas and thoughts. And then I went to Ampleforth Abbey on the North York Moors for 4 days of Tai Chi and Christian meditation. The Tai Chi is something I always wanted to do, but always slightly worried about. For me, it was beautiful because it's very gentle movement, but I was the least coordinated there, I think. But it might take a lot longer to get the hang of that. But the Tai Chi, sort of the 3 hours of that each day, were interspersed with times of quiet contemplation. In the Christian tradition of silent prayer that is rooted back to the days of the desert fathers, to the very earliest times of the church. Something very beautiful about sitting in silence. But it wasn't just sitting around, twiddling your thumbs type of silence, waiting for what next. The sort of tradition of silent contemplation in the Christian church is one of active listening, of intentionally abiding in God's love, intentionally deciding to be still that we might hear and know God's presence with us. It involves an act of consent, saying that I consent to your loving action and presence within me. It's not altogether easy, because as soon as you try to stop doing anything and to even stop thinking, your mind starts buzzing away with thoughts and ideas. And so a prayer word is used, using the word in this particular tradition, Maranatha, which means come, Lord, come in Aramaic. One of the early saints, Isaac of Nineveh, Syrian saint, said, silence is the sacrament of the age to come. It's about wanting to be a part of God's kingdom of love and preparing to be a channel of that. Spending those sort of the 10 days before Pentecost in periods of silence and prayer and meditation reminded me of the disciples being sent to wait and be with expectation of God's Holy Spirit that was to be poured out upon them. And they weren't just hanging around. I don't think they were there going, come on, when's it going to happen? But rather it says that they met and they devoted themselves to being in prayer together, full of expectation. The expectation of the most amazing gift that Jesus had promised them. You know, initially Jesus said, look, I know you're sad whenever I talk about leaving you, but this is going to be to your advantage. You know, when I leave you and when the Holy Spirit comes, I will be able to be with each and every single one of you all the time. There won't just be moments when you will see me and be with me, but I will be with you and you will be able to abide in my love. You know, one of the wonderful things about the readings of Ascension Day is that when Jesus finally leaves them, they return, not, you know, and wearily and sad to Jerusalem. They return, it says, filled with joy, because they know that this very special moment is coming. Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. It's not just that's a nice sort of time to sort of wait. Basically, it was full of significance for the early church, 50 days after the festival of the Passover, they had the festival of Pentecost, sometimes known as the festival of the weeks. It was full of significance for two different reasons. One of which we'll come back to later is that for them, Pentecost was harvest time. It was when they celebrated the first fruits of the harvest and they waited for that, the fulfillment of the harvest to be brought in. The second thing is that it had a very religious significance, that harvest festival. Because 50 days after the Passover, when people were delivered from slavery in Egypt, came the moment when Moses went up Mount Sinai and came back down with the law, with the Ten Commandments. A time when he went up to Sinai and came down with God's word. It's described as the point when God gave his redeemed people the way of life by which they should now carry out his purposes. And what became really significant for the early church was that ascension, Jesus going up to heaven, was associated with Moses going up onto the mountain. And instead of coming down with the law, he comes down at Pentecost with the dynamic energy of the law, the essence of the law carried in love to each and every one of them. You know, you'll remember from our covenant service the words that we hear each year from Jeremiah. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts and they shall know me. This is the time when the disciples, the apostles, realized that God's law was to be written on their hearts through God's Holy Spirit within each one of them. An incredible moment in the life and the start of our church that we might know God's love written on our hearts. Given to us so that we might carry out his purposes. It's about love that enables us to live as Jesus lived. It's about the Spirit that equips us and empowers us to be Christ-like. And meeting God in the silence is about waiting with expectation to be filled with that Spirit and power of love, that it will change us and shape us and heal us and transform us to live as Christ. Rowan Williams, in that little book called Being Disciples I shared a couple of weeks ago, said, "Am I expecting to grow in the life of the Spirit? Am I expecting to grow in the life of the Spirit?" He said it's a sad reflection if any Christian reaches the point of thinking, I've done my spiritual growing. One of the joys between London and between Ampleforth was going to visit Olive in hospital in Clitheroe. Olive, I've mentioned before, she turned 100 recently and sadly broke a hip just afterwards. But Olive is just so precious to me because she was one of the people who taught me, you never ever stop learning. You never ever stop growing in faith. You keep growing in God's Spirit. It is a lifetime's journey, and it was just precious to spend some time with this lady who inspired me in that way. How do we keep growing in the life of the Spirit? Well, there are many ways, not just the tradition of prayer that I mentioned that is so dear to me, but we grow as we read God's word, as we pray together, as we spend time listening, seeking intentionally, expecting and knowing that we can be filled with the Spirit of God's love. Community. They were all together in one place. such for me a significant part of that reading. They were all together in one place. They weren't on their own waiting. They were together. You know, there's something very significant and special about sharing in silence together. You know, those of us who shared in the mindfulness and Christianity and spirituality course have said there was something beautiful about the silence in that upper room. We've now renamed C5 the upper room. It just feels so right. But there's something powerful and tangible when you actually spend time praying together. Spend time being silent together. It's the same for me about that special feeling, you know, in our quiet communion on the 9 o'clock service. When I was at Ampleforth, you know, there were moments in that shared silence in the group of people who were pilgrims on that week that was just powerful, hard to even begin to express. One of my joys was going into the crypt a couple of times a day, a place where a community has prayed for generations, and there is just something powerful about the silence in that place. Something happens when we share silence together. There's an awareness of the depth of God's love. Rowan Williams talks about his meetings with leaders of other faith communities, and that when they have just sat in silence together, they have just grown in such a deep love and respect for one another, held somehow in love, different and yet held in love. Now, my experience last week reminded me of just how important it is that we create space to share in love, to grow in love and just be together. I just think it's a joy every time, even here on a Sunday morning, that we can gather together in prayer and worship as community. One of the important things about group, about community, about being together, is that it's really helpful. You know, as I said, that silent prayer is hard work. You're encouraged to be absolutely still for 20 minutes, encouraged not to even fidget, to sit still and try and deal with that sort of barrage of thoughts that might come, and to be still. But when you've got 20 other people doing that, it really keeps you going and it helps you. You know, the disciples were no doubt motivated and strengthened by being together, all together in one place. And the context of Pentecost is that they're going to be sent out to do something really hard, to share their faith, to share their experience of resurrection and God's love. When Jesus speaks to the disciples in John 16, there's that looming sense that there will be persecution, that it won't be easy, and that they need to stay together to encourage one another. They are to take heart that when they are together and when they are alone, that Jesus will be with them through the power of his Spirit. Brian McLaren, in a group that the Numa has been studying, said that, you know, the early church very quickly adopted what had been a Roman activity of meeting in ecclesia. Ecclesia were Roman groups that were quite elite groups that focused on the issues of the empire. The early church adopted ecclesia as groups that were focused on the work of the kingdom, and that were not elite in any way, but completely welcoming and open for all people. The church grew through small groups. It continues to meet, to grow, where small groups get together to pray, to reflect on God's word. And the purpose is to become agents of change, agents of love. Where those groups meet in silent prayer or in prayer in other traditions, love grows, compassion flows out of church communities, whatever size they are, when they meet to pray, when they're open to hear God's Spirit, and when they seek intentionally to grow through the power of His Spirit. McLaren says, where we open up space for the Spirit and let the Spirit fill that space within us, we begin to change and become agents of change. Again, Rowan Williams asks, do we expect to grow and to be stretched? One of the really key things in the early church was Paul's word to the Philippians that we stretch forward to that which is ahead, not just in our own strength, but letting God draw us forward. McLaren asks, how can we participate with his Spirit in this ongoing spiritual movement? It really is a joy to be all together in this place as a community, to receive the communion of God's love together and let it heal us and shape us and transform us. And may we pray that that will help us to grow and be his people. I hope you managed to see the royal wedding yesterday and hear that fantastic address. I'm afraid I'm never going to be like that. I thought those candles were going to fall over as he got more and more excited and passionate. But he was speaking about the power of love that changes. And I think really speaking to them as a couple, because they have the potential to do so much to bring love and grow love through what they can do in their love of one another. He talks about the power of love to change the world, and Pentecost is all about the power of love to change and transform us. It's not in sitting in silence or in prayer to get a lovely spiritual feeling. It's about transforming earth with the power of heaven, starting with the bodies, minds and hearts and lives of the followers of Jesus meeting in community. Richard Rohr describes the Holy Spirit as the one who sustains and heals all things into love by slowly unveiling the inherent goodness, truth and beauty in everything. And Jesus says that out of the heart of the believers shall flow rivers of living water. Love cascades in John's Gospel. It's such a beautiful thing. It cascades from the Father to the Son, through the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and out through the disciples. Wisdom cascades too, that teaching the word of the Father to the Son through the Spirit and to be sent out through us. And the language of Pentecost testifies that it is a love that is for all people, that all are valued and loved and equal, and God's love can be heard and known in every language on earth. Pentecost was about harvest. It was about giving thanks for the first fruits before going out to collect the rest. And it would have been well understood in the early church that the apostles were being filled with the Spirit and then going on to bear powerful witness to Jesus and his resurrection, to bear fruit and make more disciples. I was at a district meeting yesterday, and a minister who's from South Africa, who's come from a church where there are thousands in the congregation, you know, having small chapels, just realized that he had no choice but to go out and, you know, he's talking about just inviting, and it really put me to shame and thinking, yeah, that is what we need to do, to find opportunities as church to invite people. The reason our families aren't here with us today is that they're coming to celebrate Pentecost this afternoon, hopefully with other families who are, every time we have that special service, families are coming who meet here during the week, who we've got to know through songs and rhymes or through baby massage or from Tiddlywinks or from preschool, being invited to come and join us. We, as people of Pentecost, are to harvest, are to share and testify to God's love, the power of resurrection, healing, transformation, and find ways to invite people to be with us, to be transformed by love. Are we intentional in testifying to the power of love? Is that what we know as our call at the heart of our discipleship, to share that love? The good thing is we don't have to do it on our own, but it might be that we can create opportunities, even if it's for people just to come alongside us and get to know us, and then find ways to disciple. Reflecting on Pentecost, as a church, I believe it's vital for us to be open, trusting, praying, listening with deep value and respect for each person we meet, to be inclusive and welcoming. It's vital that we remain connected to the source of love, to God's Holy Spirit, open to its flow, with confidence, without fear, for it's love that we are invited to share. May we pray as a church that we find ways to be a channel of his love through the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing, "She sits like a bird." Another image of the power of the Holy Spirit from an Iona song. To come now to our prayers of intercession. I hope, like me, you've enjoyed praying for five people in those days of waiting and expectation during, as part of the Thy Kingdom Come invitation. Within our prayers, we will have a time for you to hold those five people in your prayers, in our prayers. So we're going to move on and to going to that one. Thank you. Let us invite the Spirit of God to blow through our lives and our world as we lift our needs to God in prayer. We pray, O God, for all who have lost faith in themselves, in others, and especially in you. May your Spirit renew and inspire them again. We pray, O God, for all who have lost their hope in what life can become for themselves and for all people. May your Spirit encourage and challenge them again. We pray, O God, for all who have lost their ability to love freely. May your Spirit comfort and soften them again. I prayed for the 5 people on my heart in the last 10 days with these words. I named each person and then said, with that name, enfold him or her or them in your love. Fill them with your peace. Free them from all fear. And added a prayer that was specific perhaps to them. So I invite you now, perhaps to hold before God those 5 people that you have prayed for in these last 10 days. Or if that's not something you've done, it might be just to bring 4 or 5 people together before God. And hold each person, saying, enfold them in your love. Fill them with your peace. Free them from all fear. And then repeat those words for the next person. I invite you also to remember 3 of our members who are in hospital, Joan Pugh, Beryl Smith and John Bourne. We ask, Lord, that you will enfold them in your love. Fill them with your peace. Free them from all fear. May they receive your healing and know your presence with them. We pray too for all the families who lost loved ones in the Manchester Arena bombing last year, and for all those who continue to suffer from the physical and emotional wounds. Enfold them in your love. Fill them with your peace. Free them from all fear. May they receive your comfort and your healing grace. We continue to share in our prayers. Spirit of fire, inflame in us a passion for justice and equality, that we may be cleansed of prejudices and proclaim your freedom boldly, caressing your earth with humility and love. Spirit of compassion, infuse us with your longings for wholeness and happiness, that we may reach out to those who are hurting and troubled, enfolding one another with your love and tenderness. Spirit of wisdom, be within us in our journeying, gently guiding us along right paths, that we may be led towards transformation and new beginnings in our world. Spirit of gentleness, touch us anew, releasing in us all that we are afraid of, that we may know your acceptance of us and freely accept and embrace others. Spirit of power, hold us in our powerlessness, that we may know your strength and become a voice for the voiceless, healing for the wounded, and empowerment for the weak. Spirit of judgment, be tender with us and show us your mercy, that we may humbly learn of you and not be afraid to be your prophets in the world. Spirit of comfort, draw near to us in all grief, confusion, and pain. In your graciousness, bring hope, consolation, and renewal, that many may look up and discover you in their midst. We pray especially for the work of Christian Aid this week, hoping to bring transformation and renewal, comfort and relief. Spirit of dance, be our playfulness, that we may leap and laugh and enter your joy. Give us confidence in life and assurance in death. Holy Spirit of God, fill the world with your peace, fill the church with your purpose, and fill us with your power for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our offering will be received and dedicated. Gracious God, we thank you that you fill us with your love, that you grant us so many gifts. We ask that you might receive all that we offer you today, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, it will be part of the work of your kingdom of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Choir are going to now lead us in an anthem as we prepare to receive communion. To stand, you don't have to kneel at the rails if it's easier to stand. Also, just to say that whilst others are coming forward, perhaps use that time for your own silent prayer. You might just simply want to repeat the word, "Come, Lord, come," or "Maranatha," as we sit in together in the communion of love. We believe in God, Creator of all that has been made, the parent of the whole creation. Oop, it disappeared. I'll pause a second. Yes. Oh, sorry. I'll continue, and we can join in where we can. We believe in God, Saviour of all that has fallen, Restorer of our broken world. We believe in God, the life of all that lives, the love that binds all things together in the family of God. We celebrate the Spirit of God who hovered over creation and brought order out of formlessness. We praise you, Spirit of God. We celebrate the Spirit of God who filled Jesus with power and wisdom and through him made the life of God available to all. We praise you, Spirit of God. We celebrate the Spirit of God who has been poured out on all people and leads us into the kingdom of God. And so as we gather at the Lord's table, we recognize the Spirit's presence among us and we open our hearts to the Spirit's influence. Lord, we come knowing that we depend on you for life and truth and love. We come knowing that you welcome us with open and accepting arms. We come ready to meet with you and be changed by the encounter. The Lord Jesus, on the eve of his crucifixion, gathered his friends for a meal. During supper, he took a loaf of bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke it and passed it among them with these words, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take this and remember me." After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine and gave thanks for it. Then he passed it among them with these words, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink, and remember me." So come, Holy Spirit, bless these gifts of bread and wine and bless us as we receive them, remembering Jesus' great love for us. Amen. And so you're invited to come and receive as the stewards invite. Of our Lord Jesus given for you. Body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. Given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. So may you know God's indwelling love. May you know his peace and grace, filling you with the power of his Holy Spirit. May you go in confidence and with joy, for he offers you fullness of life. Amen. Body of our Lord Jesus given for you. Body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. So maybe, is that everybody? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this meal of remembrance and for coming to us in the Spirit's power as we have shared it. May the love we find at this table be reflected in our lives. May the power we receive at this table make us peacemakers and healers. And may the Spirit who fills us again at this table lead us to be those who proclaim God's kingdom in every word we speak and in everything we do. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Our final hymn, O Breath of Life, comes sweeping through us. so may we go filled with the love of God through the power of his Spirit. May we go with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.